Thank you, Ella Claire. Most VBS stories stop the story with the stone hitting the forehead and he falls dead. We seem to skip the part of cutting his head off. I want to share with you a story. There were three rough-looking fellas on a motorcycle, and they pulled up to a highway cafe. Inside, they found only a waitress, the cook, and one truck driver, and a little guy, quietly eating his lunch. The motorcyclists were angry because the truck driver had cut them off of several miles back. They decided to take out their revenge on the innocent little man. They grabbed his food. They threw it across the room, and they called him bad names. The truck driver quietly got up, paid for his food, and walked out. Unhappy that they had not succeeded in provoking the little man into a fist fight, one motorcyclist said to the waitress, "He sure wasn't much of a man, was he?" The waitress replied, "I guess not." And then looking out the window, she added, "I guess he's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot." As you can see, you can never judge how big of a punch will be in the appearance of a person. David was not big in stature, for you remember, he was not even invited to the party in the picking of the new king. But God told Samuel not to look at his stature, look at his heart. Everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. Even Tom Sawyer, poor Tom, when Judge Thatcher asked him the names of the first two apostles in the Bible quiz, Tom blurts out the first two names he can think of, David and Goliath. At least he had heard of them. You know, over the years, I've written down many funny and special moments and stories about the youth. I've been in youth ministry up to almost 30 years, and I've got several journals that are just from top or from front to back. I mean, you also here today have given me some great memories. For example, and I can't tell one about each one of you, but you have given me, because there's so many, and I've got short time. I can remember talking to Tiff, so I'm going to pick on Elle Claire. Tiff, you share with me about a time when Elle Claire was just a child, and I think Jessica and Meredith were keeping her at home. You may not remember this, but I wrote it down. And Elle Claire supposedly wasn't behaving, and I'm sorry, Elle Claire, because this is a one-sided story coming from Jessica and Meredith, probably. And so Jessica said that if she didn't behave, she was going to call your mother and your dad if you continue to misbehave. Well, you didn't stop misbehaving. And then they said, "Well, we're going to call the police." And, you know, they were just, you know, kidding, but you didn't know that. About that time, a knock at the door came, and it was a police officer. And Jessica was stunned, I guess, and she was like, What's going on? And she said, well, the police officer said, "Well, we just received a 911 call from this resident." And then here comes little Ella Claire, and she says, "Well, I wanted to make sure I got my story in about the situation." Dean and I have different ways in telling stories, my wife and I do. For me, I just like to know how it ends. Yet Dina likes to share all the details. But me, I want to hurry up and get to the end. Save me from the drama and the anxiety and just tell me how it ends. You see, one of the stories in my youth ministry journal was a skiing trip during the early 90s. I still have the picture of that youth group in my office. And the photo was taken at the very end of the trip, and we're all smiling from that ski trip. But the story doesn't tell the whole story, or the picture doesn't tell the whole story. Details are left out from that picture. We left South Georgia heading to the mountains to ski that year, and there was a snowstorm. No, it was a blizzard. It's about 92, 93. The bus we were traveling in could not make it up the mountain roads to drop us off. There was around 50 in the group, so they couldn't get us up to the cabins. So they took us to the bottom of the mountain where the ski lodge was located. And I came up with a bright idea, being a youth minister, that we would get our whole group, get the skis, get their ski poles at the ski lodge, and we would take the ski lift up to the top of the mountain, drop them off at the top of the mountain, and the bus would come later with our luggage, because I wanted to get them up there to the ski cabins. But I forgot that 80% of my group had never, ever, 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 ever skied before. So it really wasn't much of a bright idea. Yet we attempted it along with our adults. So as they got fitted for their skis and their poles, we started sending them up the ski lift. Some came up with one ski and two poles. Some two skis and no poles. Very few made it up with a full set. I even had one kid who was my biggest kid, and I just found out early this morning that today's his birthday. Of course, he has children now, and he's from Valdosta, Georgia. John Dukes. He was coming up, and he played football also, and he forgot to get off the ski lift. And so you got to picture this. It was snowing, and it was blizzarding, and I say, John, just stay on, and don't get off until it comes back around. Of course, John jumped off right into the net. And those nets that are under the ski lift are not made for people. They're made for dropping poles and dropping skis to catch those things, not people. And he busted right through that net. Well, we got through it, and it turned out to be a great trip for us all. But if you looked at the picture we took at the end of the trip, you would never have known about all that had happened on that trip. Today, when I look at the picture, I can laugh because I know how the story ends. We are quick to respond when we hear the story about David and Goliath. Well, I know how the story ends. There is a security in that, right? But I want you to put yourself in David's shoes. We have a lot to learn from David today by seeing it through his eyes. You see, he was just 17 years old. He had not read 1 Samuel in the verses that we have just read. So let's go back to that time. Let's picture what his response would have been to his father. David, go take some snacks and food to your brothers. Did David roll his eyes? Most teenagers would do that and say, gosh, Dad, seriously? I'm the future king. Don't you remember Samuel has already anointed him? He's anointed me. How can you ask me to do such a meaningless task as this? But now if David refuses to be faithful in his present time, And because he focuses on the future of becoming the king, this could end up a whole lot different, David and Goliath. How many of you have heard the story David and Goliath? This is even a sports analogy. People use it in the NBA, NFL, and throughout the sports world. The story is so famous, it's known by all, even outside these walls. Yet, it could have ended a whole lot different. Jesse wakes up David one morning and says, "I got a task for you, David. I want you to run this food to your brothers at the battle line." So David leaves to do what his dad has asked him to do. He faithfully respects his dad's instructions, not trusting in himself, but trusting in his father and a living God. You see, David got up that morning expecting, he didn't get up that morning expecting to face a giant. He did not know his life and his world would change forever. Also, all his days up to this point, God had been preparing him for this moment in time. David did not know that. He did not know this was going to happen. David was just faithful. His dad had asked him to take food to his brothers, and he obeyed and did. You do not know what God wants to do in your life. You don't know what conversation you may have each and every day that will turn things around. You do not know the moment that will be holy. You do not know when a bush is going to burst into flames and become the presence of the living God who will direct your steps in a certain path. You do not know this. But if you do not know and you do not show up for the ordinary with a good attitude, it could end a whole lot different. Do you really think they would have told us this Bible story in VBS or in Sunday school? If the story would have ended up like, Jesse woke up David. David got up. David went down to the battle line with a bad attitude, threw the food at his brother's feet, and came back home and then slept for 8 hours. That could have been a very different ending to this story. Goliath is always trying to get in the position of opposing the purpose of God. Goliath was standing against the people of God, opposing the purpose of the living, defying armies of the living God. David recognized that. David said, "I'm not going to allow this to happen," because God had already established victories in his life. And he refused to live out, or he refused not to do the ordinary task that God had put before him when his father asked for him to deliver the food. You know, David's attitude and confidence in God and himself brought many victories through David's life. For attitude is important. I shared a while back the part on attitude which Charles Swindoll talks about. And I want to read that for you about attitude. Charles Swindoll says, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past and education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success, than other people, what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It is more, it can make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing, we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act a certain way. We cannot even change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. We are in charge of our attitudes. David faced the attitude not only of his older brother, but he faced the attitude of Saul. Remember, David's older brother was negative. He was like, what are you doing here? And he could have just stayed there and fought with his older brother, but what did he do? If you look at Scripture, it says he turned the other direction. A lot of times we sit there and we are arguing with the wrong enemy. We are arguing with our older brother, the person we should be protecting. We do that within our church family. We do it as church members. And God says, look, you're not there to argue with them. That's not your enemy. You need to turn and face your Goliath and step away from that. And then when he went there, then he had to deal with Saul, as we read earlier in the scripture. And Saul looked at him, and first thing Saul says to him, you are only a boy. And Saul should have been so excited, because Saul was the one that was supposed to fight him. He was the king. And yet he's complaining to David, you are only a boy. David knew better. David knew better. He said, I've got a resume. I'm pretty good. I've beaten something bigger than me. I beat a lion. I beat a bear. So put me in, coach. Yet Saul said, you are only a boy. Only. So now David faced the phrase, only. People are going to tell you, only, graduates. You can't do that. You're only. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, when Jeremiah told the Lord, when the Lord was calling him and commissioning him, Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. And what did God's response be? He said, trust me. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. And it was God who touched his mouth and put the words in Jeremiah's mouth so that he could speak. And it was God who made a way for David to defeat the Goliath. This story could have ended so much different. Saul said he was only a boy. Saul tried to defeat him in his own armor, which was not going to work. His older brother was negative and said, go back home and tend to the sheep. It could have ended a whole lot different. But spoiler alert, Goliath does go down. And David, who came there with no sword, if you read the rest of the story, ends up with a sword. And he ends up using that sword later in his life. Graduate, church family, notice finally in verse 48, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out the stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. David triumphed over Goliath. I've shared this story before, and I close with this. Being a kid in a family of nine, I was the baby. I remember taking family vacations to the mountains and camping out in North Carolina. We couldn't afford to take expensive vacations. So we basically piled in tents and camper, all nine of us. But we would go to the mountains of North Carolina, and we would stay at a campsite. I love those vacations because at those campsites, all we had to do was fish and play in the streams and the rivers. We got to go with several families that were from our hometown at Avon Park, Florida. But then we also would meet new folks up in North Carolina. In that stream behind the river or behind the campsite, there were stepping stones. And I put in each graduate a stone that I want you to have. But those stepping stones were used so that you could walk across that stream without having to go through the river to get to the other side to see the waterfall. Every year, you had to be a certain age to be the one in charge of putting those stepping stones across that river. When I was just a little boy, it was always my older brothers. I was too young. I couldn't get out in the river in order to put and make those stones steady. Year after year after year. And I was waiting till that time when I got old enough that I could be the one that could put those stepping stones in the river so that the children and the older adults could walk across and see the waterfall. You had to get in the water and get your feet wet. You had to get that stone just right and make sure it wasn't going to slip or fall. That was responsibility. Graduates, brothers and sisters in Christ, God is calling us to be stepping stones and not stumbling blocks in life. And that's an everyday battle. We don't conquer that in one incident. It's throughout our journey. It's throughout our life. So my challenge to you as graduates is to remember to show up for the ordinary like David did. Show up with a positive attitude. Don't let yourself be distracted by the wrong enemy or foe. And be stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. That's a challenge for us all as we live this day and as we live out our days here on this world. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for the power of your word. Father, we thank you so much. There are so many truths that are found in the simple stories that we learn in VBS as children. Father, we thank you so much for the life of David, who was just a teenage boy, who when everybody else was saying, "You can't defeat this giant, we can't defeat this giant," and they were looking at giant and seeing a giant that could not be defeated, yet David was looking and saying, "You cannot miss something that big." Father, give us that type of attitude in life. It's hard, it's difficult sometimes because we get distracted. We allow our attitudes become negative instead of positive. We forget that our God is bigger than any situation or circumstance that we face in life. And when something comes against your purpose, it won't stand. And we can claim victory. Father, we just thank you so much for this message. We thank you so much for all that our graduates have achieved at this point in their life. And we thank you for their families. And we thank you for this church that continues to love them. Now we ask you to bless our time as we sing and we dedicate this song to you. And as we sing praises to you. For we ask in your Son's name. Amen.